tonight that you have a choice, okay? You make choices. Now, I want to tell you a little story while I do this. Hopefully, I don't cut myself. So I hope, you know, we have bandages somewhere just in case. But anyway, long ago in America, there lived these two famous actors. One was named Edwin, and one was named John, and they were brothers. All right, now in 1863, these two brothers, they acted together in a play called Julius Caesar. Okay, now John, he played the role of Brutus, who was an assassin. And it's kind of ironic that he played the assassin because 2 years later, this John, who acted on stage, and he played in Julius Caesar, and he was, you know, played an assassin, he became a real life assassin because this John was John Wilkes Booth. He was the one that killed President Lincoln. He assassinated him. His brother was Edwin. Now, Edwin's life was never the same after this. I can understand. His brother had killed the president. So his life was never the same, and he even quit acting because of this. If it had not been for this incident that happened later, he would have never gone back to the theater. You see, one day, Edwin was at the train station back in 1863, 1865 now. He was back at the train station. And there was this well-dressed young man named Robert who was on his way back to Harvard where he was in school. And he was being pushed along by the crowd. He fell off the platform in between the platform and the moving train. You know what could have happened, right? Except for Edwin. Edwin stepped in, wrapped his legs around the rail, reached down, and pulled Robert up by the collar, saved him from the train. You know who Robert was? He was the son of Abraham Lincoln. The son of Abraham Lincoln. It's amazing to me that, I'm trying not to cut myself, that two brothers that come from the same parents, same fruit, two halves, it is amazing that two brothers came from the same parents. They had the same upbringing, just like this fruit. This fruit got the same sunlight, the same water, the same fertilizer. I mean, it fitted together. You saw me cut it. It's just two halves now. Well, these two brothers, one chose life. One, let me find my bag, one chose death. In case you're wondering what this is potting soil. Anybody want an apple? Oh, you're choosing not to get this one, huh? You would choose to get this half. Right? Okay. Just checking. All right. Okay. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight is making choices. Okay? You get to choose. You get to choose which way and what you want to do in life. It's up to you. So I want us to go to Joshua 24. And I'm going to be reading this to you from the New Living Translation. Joshua 24. And we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to read a little ways. All right, so mine's going to read a little bit differently than yours. It says, "Then Joshua summoned all the people of Israel to Shechem, along with their leaders, elders, leaders, judges, and officers. So they came and presented themselves to God. And Joshua said to the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River. And they worshipped other gods. But I took your ancestor Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him into the land of Canaan, and I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave the hill country of Seir, while Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I brought terrible plagues on Egypt. And afterwards I brought you out as a free people. But when your ancestors arrived at the Red Sea, the Egyptians chased after you with chariots and horses. And when you cried out to the Lord, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians. I brought the sea crashing down on the Egyptians, drowning them. With your very own eyes you saw what I did. Then you lived in the wilderness for many years. Finally, I brought you into the land of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave you victory over them, and you took possession of their land. Then Balak, son of Zippor, and the king of Moab started a war against Israel. He asked Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to him. Instead, I made Balaam bless you, and so I rescued you from Balak. When you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you. There are also many others who fought against you, including the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave you victory over them. And I sent hornets ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords or your bows that brought you victory. I gave you land you had not worked for, and I gave you the cities you did not build, the cities in which you are now living, and I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will serve him." You know, have you ever struggled with that? Have you ever struggled with living for Christ or choosing the world's way sometimes? I mean, if you have, I mean, I have. You know, and I'm not alone. I can go to the Bible and find examples of people who, you know, one chose one way and one chose the other way. You got Cain and Abel. Abel chose God. Cain chose murder. There you go. You know, you got Abraham and Lot. They were pilgrims in the land of Canaan. Abraham chooses God. Lot chooses Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. But he chose. That was his choice. You got David and Saul. Not Saul in the New Testament, but Saul in the Old Testament. Okay? They were both kings of Israel. Both of them. Kings. David chose God. Saul chose power, wealth. He chose to take that path instead. And then there's Peter and Judas. Both of them denied God, denied Jesus, both of them. But Peter sought his forgiveness. Peter sought mercy. Judas ran, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, and then killed himself. Judas chose death. Peter chose to seek forgiveness and mercy. I mean, one of the greatest gifts God has ever given to us is the gift of choice. You have a choice. You know, I started thinking about Calvary. And then I started reading about it. And I never thought about it. I mean, you know, Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, I know that, you know. And there were one on the left and one on the right. Yeah, I know that. But then I started thinking, why? Why was there not more up there? Why couldn't there have been 6 crosses up there or 10 crosses up there? Why was Jesus in the middle? Why couldn't he have been over here to the side with the other 2 robbers over here? Or why couldn't, you know, why was it arranged that way? Maybe it was showing us God's greatest gift, one of his greatest gifts, which is choices. Maybe he was showing us choices. Because you got the robber on one hand, who was hurling curses at him left and right, just a bam, 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 bam. And then you got the other robber going, why are you talking to him that way? We deserve what we got. Why? And then he says, Lord, remember me. He said, remember me. So maybe it was not an accident, you know, accident, that there was one on the left and one on the right and Jesus was in the middle. Maybe that was showing us that we have the ability to choose Jesus or to reject him. Maybe that's what that was doing. If you go to Luke 23, it tells us what happened that day, okay? And it's Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. And this is the NIV I'm reading from. I know I'm switching all over the place, but it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. You got a choice. It's all about your choice. We live in a free country. I thank God for the United States. We live in a free country where we are free to make choices. You know, that is one of the freedoms that we have here. We have the freedom to choose. You know, and we make choices every day. You made choices today. I've made choices today. You know, they might have not been, you know, detrimental, but I made choices. You know, I made a choice whether or not to hit the alarm. I couldn't hit the alarm because I couldn't take my shower last night and wash my hair, so I had to do it this morning. So it was like, you know, so, but I could have. I could have ran off late, you know, took it myself to work and, you know, been a hot mess, but that, you know, I could have hit that alarm. That was my choice. Nobody was twisting my arm to get up. That was my choice. You chose what you wore today, what you're wearing tonight, what you wore today. You know, it was hot today. I could have worn my little, what I call my New York coat. I would have burned up, but hey, it would have been my choice. You choose what shoes you wear. I could have worn my fur-lined boots, fake fur-lined boots. Okay, let me throw that out there to you. I don't want y'all to think, oh, she has fur-lined boots. Fake fur-lined boots, okay? I could have worn them. I would have been hot as the dickens, but I could have worn them. It would have been my choice. You know, we choose. You can even go to the eye doctor and choose what color your eye you want your eyes to be. I used to have Pepsi Cola blue eyes. That was my choice. You can also choose what color you want your hair to be. Thank the Lord. You know. Woo. You know, you can choose your hairdo. You can choose how you want your hair to be. You can. And you know what? You can also choose your complexion, because with makeup and tanner, bronzer, you can be any color you want to be. You can. You know, it's all about choices. It is all about choices. We also make choices in our Christian lives, in our spiritual lives. You're going to make a choice whether you're going to serve God or you're not. That's your choice. That is your choice to make. You know, you can choose to go God's way, to believe what God says and to do what God says, or you can go the other way and do it the world's way. Do it their way. It might even be easier their way. But you might end up with a little dirt on you if you go that way. You know, it's about, you know, choosing which way you want to do and what you want to do. You chose whether or not to come to church tonight or whether to stay home. That's your choice. Nobody's twisting your arm making you come. You choose what you're going to do. You know, you choose to do the right thing or you choose to do the wrong thing. Your choice. Your choice. You choose to lose your temper or to stay cool. I'll say that again. Sometimes I choose to lose my temper, and sometimes I decide I'm going to keep my cool. You know, sometimes I might have to take a walk. I might have to go, you know, I need to go see the cows for a little while, and I might take a little lap, and then I come back in. But I got to do what I got to do before I say something I shouldn't say. Sometimes you got to do that. And I just, you know, but that was my choice. I choose to do it instead of spouting off and telling somebody what I think and how I feel. I choose to go look at the cows. Now my cow may be on the sidewalk somewhere and I'm just walking, just calm down, you know. You choose whether or not you're going to pray or whether you're not going to pray. you choose when you come in here, whether or not you're going to worship and praise God or you're going to sit there like a lump on a log. You choose. Nobody's making you praise and worship God. Even He's not making you praise and worship Him. He's like, you choose today what you want. You choose life or you choose death. That's your choice. That is you. But God has given each of us the freedom to choose. And I tell my children this, that you have the freedom to choose, but you also have to realize that there are consequences that come with those choices. And that the life you're living today is due to what you chose to do in the past. You know, your choices determine your future. If you don't like what's going on, change. Change. You know, if I decide not to pay a bill, I see it. I know it's there. But I'm not going to pay it because, you know what, I don't want to. I don't want to call them and set up a payment plan. I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to shove it to the side and say, not doing it. Well, you know what? I got to suffer the consequences. Either A, I'm going to pay a late fee, or B, they're going to come and turn something off or take something. Because they're going to get theirs, you know. You don't pay Uncle Sam. See if you don't get a letter in the mail. You will. That's your choice, though. You can choose to file your income tax or not. You can choose whether to lie on them or not and hope not to get caught. But that's your choice. That's your choice. You know, but if you don't study for a test, I tell my children now at school, you don't study for a test, don't come crying to me because you flunked it. That's your fault. That's not my fault. That's your fault. Because you didn't study. I told you what was going to be on the test. I gave you a study guide. God has given us a study guide. Now, if you don't read it and you don't study it, that's your choice. Don't come up crying when you flunk the test. Get in there and study the study guide. You know, like I said, it goes for the same thing for serving God. Because when you take your last breath, and your heart beats for the very last time, you're going either to heaven or hell, and that's where you're going to be. There are no do-overs. You know, like when I was little, I might roll bad in a game of Monopoly or something. I'd say I was going to land on go to jail. And I'd be like, do over. I'd roll again. And then I might holler, do over. You don't get do overs. When you're there, you're there. That's it. Thing is, we don't know when that will be. So you got to choose to live for Him. Now, you've got to choose God. I want us to go to Romans 2. And we're going to be looking, I'm going to the Message Bible this time. And we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 13. Romans 2. Verses 3 through 13. And this is the Message Bible, so mine's going to read differently, okay? It says, you didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he will let you off the hook? You better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. You're not getting by with anything. Every refusal and avoidance of God adds fuel to the fire. The day is coming when it's going to blaze hot and high. God's fiery and righteous judgment. Make no mistake, in the end, you get what's coming to you. Real life for those who work on God's side, but for to those who insist on getting their own way and taking the path of least resistance, fire. If you go against the grain, you get splinters. Regardless of which neighborhood you're from. I gotta start right there. I gotta throw in a little thing that happened at school today. Splinters. My children were in the Gaga pit. And it's basically dodgeball with a wooden fence around it, and you have to hit the ball and try to get people out. Well, I had two children. They had 1 foot in the Gaga pit and 1 foot out the Gaga pit, and they were straddling the wooden fence. And I told them, I said, either you in or you out. I said, it's just like being a Christian. Either you are with God or you're not with God, because all you're going to get while you're straddling that fence is splinters in your behind. That is all you're going to get. So I just had to stop right there and throw that in. When I saw splinters, I was like, oh, the guy got pit today. All right. If you go against the grain, you get splinters. Regardless of which neighborhood you're from, what your parents taught you, what schools you attended, but if you embrace the way God does things, there are wonderful payoffs. Again, without regard to where you are from or how you were brought up. Being a Jew won't give you an authentic stamp of automatic stamp of approval. God pays no attention to what others say or what you think about you. He makes up his own mind. If you sin without knowing what you're doing, God takes that into account. But if you sin knowing full well what you're doing, that's a different story entirely. Merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what he commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes a difference with God. And you may be out there and you might say, hey, I know that I'm not supposed to be going to this party, but my parents don't know about it. You know, people at church ain't gonna know. You know who knows? God knows. It won't matter if I mail off at this person or this person's driving slow and they in and out and all of, you know, and I'm late, running late, and I'm like, you know, at these people. Sounds like I know what I'm talking about, doesn't it? But it's your choice. You choose whether you get upset at these people or not. You are in control. You do it. You have the choice. Because the way we live, it shows other people whether they are Christians or whether they are not Christians. It shows them the strength of your commitment to serving God. It shows them. I mean, how can you lead somebody to Christ if you out there cutting corners? How can you lead somebody to Christ if you out there dipping and dabbing? How can you do that? How can you call them out for what they're doing when you're doing almost, well, you know, I would say almost the same thing, but, you know, to God, sin is sin. There is no high and low. We put that label on there. So how can you lead somebody to the Lord if you're out there doing dipping and dabbing and juking and jiving and all that other kind of stuff? You can't do that if you're cutting corners. I want us to go back to Joshua 24. I'm getting ready to close. I had to say that. I had to give him a little high sign. All right. I'm going back to Joshua 24. And this is the Message Bible. And this is verses 14 and 15. It says, so now, he's talking to the people of Israel. He says, so now, fear God. Worship him in total commitment. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshipped on the far side of the river, the Euphrates, and in Egypt. You worship God. And if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve. And do it today. Choose one of the gods your ancestors worshipped from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you are now living. As for me and my family, we'll worship God. You know, so Joshua is telling them, look, it's either God or not. You know, it's either yes or no. You either in, like I told people in the Gaga pit, you either in or out. Quit straddling that fence, because all you're going to get is splinters in your backside. That's it. You're either in or out. You know, you can make a lot of bad choices in your life. I have. I've made plenty. But there is one choice that you have to make correctly. And that's where you're going to spend eternity. That is one choice. You can't get this wrong. I'm begging you, don't get this wrong. Make the right choice. I'm going in my basket. You have a choice. You can either choose God, purified drinking water. Okay? Never been opened. Or you can choose the world's way, the easy way. And I got to tell you, this used to be water. There might be some in there. It's still liquid. Okay? But there's a lot of vinegar in here, there's some soap in here. I even put some hot sauce in here. Okay? And I think I drank out of it before I put the vinegar and stuff in here. So, you know, it's got a little Becky juice in there too. So you got a choice. You either choose God or you choose the world. That's your choice. What you choose, Sherry? I'll let Bobby come get it for you. You don't have to get up. You want God or you want the world? You want God. That's my choice too. This is going to go in the trash whenever I find time to put it there. Because that is where the world belongs. In the trash. So choose God. Be wise and choose God. I give it over to Brother Mike. I'm going to leave this stuff right here.